of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 17. We'll start there. He says, Paul writing here, he says, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So Paul writing here, and I want you to notice something here. Paul doesn't have a problem with setting himself up as an example to follow. You see that? You know, here a lot of folks get tore up about that. But Paul says, you've got me for an example. You see what I'm doing, the way I'm living my life. I want you to set me as your example. And then we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But then he goes on and he says, for you to mark those who follow the right way. In other words, he says, find out the others that are walking the same way we're walking or walking the same way you're walking. Mark them. Know who they are. See, it's good for you to know who is part of your company. Paul goes on and he talks about those. He says, you know, there's some of them that are not walking this way. Some of them are not, don't have the same mind as said as this. And it's what Paul's trying to do. He says, I'm trying to get you to distinguish who it is that's lack of like faith with you and who's not. And he says, I'm being an example of what it's like to be of right faith. I like what the Message Bible says, verse 17 there. It says, stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. Notice that. Keep track of those. Watch and see who's headed in the same direction. Know who's among you that your friends, praise God. And then notice he goes on and he talks about those others. And he says, they're the ones that mind earthly things. Let me give that one to you in the Message Bible, verses 18 and 19. He says, there are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross, but Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their God. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. Now, think about that. He says, listen, there are some out there, they have their own way of doing things. They want to do it their way, but it's going to end up in destruction for them. Matter of fact, the Good News Bible says in verse 19, they're going to end up in hell because their God is their bodily desires. They are proud of what they should be ashamed of, and they think only of things that belong to this world. Sounds like a lot that we know of right now, right? And a lot of things that are going on. People that are trying to make you and I think, and it's been going on for a while, but, you know, things are slowly starting to change a little bit. But now it's been several years now that people have tried to tell us that what was wrong was right. And that we were wrong for thinking that it was wrong. You know, it's okay. This is the right way. This is where you guys are. You don't know what you're talking about. No. See, we've known all along what we were talking about. Come on. Why? Because we've known what the Bible says. You see, the Bible is not wrong and can never be wrong. And so when we base our lives and our thinking and what we know upon the Word of God, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Even if they're trying to get you to go their way. My goodness, what stupid stuff we've watched come down the line. Come on, church. I mean, somebody has got to stand up and say, that's just stupid. That is just stupid what you're trying to do there. Number one, goes against nature. Number two, it goes against God. It should be verse the other way. It goes against God, goes against the nature. But I mean, we see these things and we know better. But they're trying to tell us, no, you don't know better. You're wrong. And that's what Paul's trying to say. See, that's why it's important to know those that have the same mind as you, have the same faith as you, believe the way you do. that are going the same path as you, because not everybody's walking down the same path. Not everybody that calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. Come on now. Not everybody that says they're a Christian is really a child of God. They may be a member of a church somewhere. They may attend a church somewhere. But it depends on what they're believing and where they're coming from with their religion. That's what makes the difference, because there's a difference between Christianity and religion. Come on. Religion offers a gathering. It offers an association. It offers a togetherness. But Christianity offers a born-again experience through and by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, and rose again on the third day. Believing in Him, confessing Him as your Lord, that's Christianity. Anything else besides that is just a religion, and there's all kinds of them out there. But they're the ones wrong, not us. Why? Because we have the Word of God that tells us that we're right. Come on. See, I know a lot of people say, how do you know you're right and other people are not? Because I have the Word of God. My salvation is based on what the Word says, not on what some man has said somewhere. Come on now. It's what God said. Now, and notice here then, he goes on and he talks about those people. But then he goes on and says, for our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation there, it means citizenship. When you look it up in the original Greek, it says citizenship. So here in the message again, Philippians 20 and 21 there, it says, but there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're awaiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him. Notice that. We are citizens from heaven. Heaven is our home. You get that. Citizens of heaven. Now, you know, the world tries to act like that once you become a child of God, life is over for you. I mean, you know, you get out there and listen to them. I'll never forget one time that I was working on a job, and one guy got on the CB radio and he told everybody, he said, God, I just want you fellas to know that I got saved this weekend. Well, there's another guy gets on the radio. Why in the world did you do that? Your life is over. But you see, that's the world's thinking, that if you're a child of God, it's over for you. I mean, you can't have any fun. Well, the truth is, once you get born again, your life is just beginning. You're just beginning to live. You see, because here's the thing about the world. The world cannot comprehend what it's like to be born again and live under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't comprehend it because it can't be naturally comprehended. Come on. You can't understand God through the natural. You have to experience in Him and have Him living on the inside of you before you can be able to understand spiritual things. The Bible tells us that the natural man does not understand the spiritual things. But the spiritual man, he's the one that understands the spiritual things. And so we understand and know that we're living our best life now. Come on. Not only are we getting to live our best life now, but we also have that hope, that bonus, that promise of eternal life. We know that we have peace on the inside of us now. Think about that for a minute. Got peace. No, I know who my Redeemer is. I know where I'm going when I leave this earth. I don't have to worry when I lay my head down on my pillow at night. I know that should I not wake up again, I'll open my eyes in heaven. I know that. How do I know that? Because the Word tells me that. The Bible tells me that. And so we can't let the world do what they want. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. Let them go ahead and do their thing. But I'm going to do what the Word of God says. I'm going to live my life according to the Word of God. Now look over here in 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. Let me show you something here. Because I said, you know, the world, they just cannot understand. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 kind of help us and show that to us. It says, verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein, now listen to this, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. What's Paul trying, or Peter trying to get across here? Well, number one, he says this, that everyone has a past of sin. Every one of us, notice this. He says, you know, we've all had our conversation in that. We've all been in part of that. You know, some folks may have lived a worse life than others, but sin is sin. You could have been the worst sinner and now be the best Christian. Praise God. You know, so Paul says that Peter says this. He said, every one of us has a past. But then he goes on and he talks about, you know, your old friends can't understand why you don't want to do the things you once did. They don't get it. And the reason they don't get it is because, once again, they don't understand the spiritual side of things. They don't understand now where you're living. Now, he goes on and says this, they'll have to give an account to God for the way they're living their lives. Just like everybody that's ever lived will give an account to God for the life they live. So it's better to choose God now. Make sure you get your sins forgiven. Make sure that you know you're on your way to heaven. Make sure that you've done what you're supposed to do now before you die, because after you die, it's just judgment. It's judgment. The Bible talks about when the way the tree falls, that's the way it lies. What's that mean? Well, that means however you die here, whatever state you die in, if you die here born again, saved, then you're going to go to heaven. On the other side, you're going to be in glory. You're going to be in paradise. If you die here lost, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible talks about in hell, the man lift up his eyes, being in torment. There's only two places that we go to once we leave this earth. No matter how great a life you had, if you missed Jesus, you've missed it all. No matter how bad a life you've lived on this earth, if you've got Jesus, then you're going to be in glory and you're going to get it all. So it pays us to make sure that we're living for Jesus. Make sure, and it doesn't matter if any of the people don't understand, as long as you understand why you've decided to serve Jesus. You see, that's the main thing, is to make up your mind. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm not doing what everybody else is doing. Now, you know, and here's the thing. What believers really don't understand is that now you see the world through different eyes since you've allowed Jesus Christ to come into your life. You see things so much differently. How many can say you see things differently now once you got born again? I think all of us can, right? Well, in Galatians 2:20, here's what Paul wrote. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul says, you know, I'm living a different life now. I'm living a life that's in the faith of the Son of God. Well, see, living a life by the faith of the Son of God is really living a life by the Word of God. It means I'm living by different rules now. I'm not under the rule of darkness anymore. I'm under the rule of the kingdom of God. Come on now. Things that apply to the world don't apply to me now. Did you hear me? I do understand I live in this world, but my kingdom is no longer of this world. Come on. At one time, the devil was my Lord, and now Jesus is my Lord. You say, you serve the devil? Yep. And if you're lost, you're serving him too. There's only two masters. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil, whether you like it or not. Now, I didn't know I was in the kingdom of darkness because I had never been taught that. But once I learned the Word of God and I realized you're either saved or you're lost, you're either in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of His Son, I realized that I was in the kingdom of the darkness and I was under the rule and reign of the devil. Come on. All I had to look forward to was hell. Amen. Now, I understand the Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a season, but understand there's also, the Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Death. You see, and so I learned pretty quickly that you need to do something about this. Now, a lot of times we kind of prolong and we hold on. And I'm still trying to figure out why. Come on, how about you? Maybe you waited a while before you got saved. Why? You can't really say why, can you? But it's one thing that the Word of God says. The Word of God says it's because we love darkness better than we did light. You know, once we decided I want light in my life rather than darkness, that's when we made the decision to make the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. And once we did that, now again, we're seeing things from different perspective. We have different rules of life now because now I'm living a life governed by the Son of God, by the Word of God. And the Word of God is my rule of life. You see, understand, the Bible is your roadmap to this life once you get born again. You know, and it's not a life of bondage like everybody thinks. You know, the world thinks, oh, you can't have any. I'm having more fun than I've ever had in my life. Well, once again, I've got peace in my life. But here's the main, I've got freedom in my life. I'm free to live my life to the fullest. And that's what Jesus said He came here to do, is to give you a life, an abundant life. If you can get to live it to the without worry, without anxiety, you don't have to, I don't know what happens next. Don't matter what happens next, as long as I got Jesus, it's going to be good. It's going to be okay. You see, and that's the comfort we have. So we see things. You know, I realize now I'm free from the sentence of sin and death. I know it no longer has any hold on me. I now have the life of God living on the inside of me, and I can live that life. Praise God. You know, I thank God I can live for Jesus now. At one time I couldn't say Jesus is my Lord, but I can say it. Now, can you? Can you say Jesus is my Lord? Well, just go ahead and say it right now. Go ahead. Jesus is my Lord. Man, isn't that awesome to be able to say that? To know it. You know, sometimes I think we take Him for granted. We forget how precious it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. How to know that we have this life now that we're living here, and this don't even compare to what it's going to be like when we get to go to heaven. See, we need to see ourselves that way. Now, let me just go ahead and say this. Like Paul, you and I should be setting an example of the faith-filled life for others to be able to follow. See, he kind of gets quiet, you know. Look with me over here in Timothy. Would you, 1 Timothy, jump over here. Let me read something to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 12. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Notice that. Now, Paul told Timothy to be an example. You and I should be an example. How should we be an example? Well, he says to Timothy, be an example of the believer in word, in conversation. That means manner of life in this particular translation. In love or charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Notice that part of being an example is being able to set a standard for somebody else to follow that will help them. Now, you know, here's what I hear a whole lot. I've heard this all my life. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not going to follow some man. Anybody else ever heard that? Come on. I'm not going to follow a man. I'll tell you that. Let me ask you a question. If somebody's driving down the road, and they're going down the only route that's getting to a certain destination, are you going to follow them to that destination, or are you going to try to find some other way to that destination? Well, if you're smart, you'll follow them because they're on the right road and the only road that gets to that destination. You try something else, it ain't going to get you to where you want to go. Why in the world would you not want to follow somebody that's on their way to heaven and they're on the right road? Come on now. See, when you're looking at me real funny still, that still bothers some of you. Listen, I understand that people are not perfect, But as long as they're on the right track, it's okay to follow them on that track. Did you hear me? Well, I mean, I'm going to have to give you Bible for it because you're still looking at me funny. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." You know what he just said? As long as I'm following Christ, follow me. Come on. That don't mean you do everything somebody does, but if you see them on the right road, you see them living for God, then that's somebody that you can set and say, well, there's an example of a believer. There's somebody that's living for God. There's somebody that I can trust. I can follow their lifestyle. Come on. If you see them mess up, don't get tore up. Just understand that they were human and they messed up. You don't follow that part. You only follow the part to get you to where you want to go. Come on now. You know. And just because somebody messes up, that don't mean God messed up. It just means they missed it. Come on now. Let me give you a little example. And this, just to show you. I mean, you know, I was up in Michigan and we were fishing up there and we had found a different ramp to put into Lake St. Clair up there. And we'd never done it before, but we drove to find this ramp. And so we knew where it was at. That way we didn't have to take the boat so far on the water to get to this place. You could drive down and put in. And we were in the hotel, and we were getting ready to leave the hotel. There were some guys there that had just gotten there, and they were talking to my buddy there. And he said, well, if we found a different place to put in, we're going to go down there and put in. And they said, well, you know, we don't know where that's at. And he said, well, you can just follow us if you want to. Okay. So they, from the hotel parking lot, they start following us. They're right on. You ever follow anybody in traffic? You know, you're right on their tail. You don't want to lose them because if you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up lost, right? So we're going down through there and we're going by the GPS because we've tracked it from the day before. So we know where we're going to go to. And the phone falls over and my buddy grabs the phone and then he sets it back up there and it messed up. And so he reset the thing and we're going down through there and we're going down, and those people are following us. We're pulling boats now. We get down through there, and we start down through there, and I said, hey, this is not the way we came last night. He said, well, it's the same thing. And I said, did you touch the GPS? He said, well, my finger might have hit it. I said, yep, your finger hit it, and now we're going to a different destination. And so the people are following us. Guess what? They were going the wrong way, too. So we pulled over and said, hey, we're going the wrong way. They laughed. They were from West Virginia. So I said, you guys are good. You're following the blind, you know. But I said, if you just keep following us, we'll get you there. And we got it back on track. And we had to kind of take the long way around, but we finally got them there. Okay. But the point is, they didn't know the destination we were supposed to. But when we got off track, they were off track with us. But we got back on the track and they got back on track with us. So here's the thing. If you get off track, get back on track. If you lose your way, get back and find the way. Come on. I promise you, God loves you enough to forgive you if you mess up and say, come on back. Get back over here. You're the part of the family. Remember that young man that left his father and took half of everything his father had, took his part and went and spent it all? When he came back, the father was looking for him. Looking down the road, saw him coming afar off, and he ran into his arms around him and said, this is my son, he's lost. He was lost, but now he's found. Think about that. See, that's the way God sees us. We're his children, and he sees us that way. So just understand that, you know, if you do see somebody get off track, don't go ahead and condemn them and put them in hell. Try to help them get back on the right track, get them back life. Be an example for them so that you can get them back where they need to go. Because realize you're not perfect either. Come on, you've made some mistakes yourself. You know, here's the thing. Realize this, that every one of us, we have to walk out our own individual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm responsible for my walk. You're responsible for your walk. We all have to walk this thing out the way we should according to the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13 says this, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, he says, You got to make sure that your lifestyle is lining up with the Word of God, because it's God that's working in you. Now, here's the thing. An individual relationship with God does not exempt you from a relationship with the church. I'm going to say that one more time, because some of you have a hard time with this, because I hear all the time, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. It's real quiet. I'm going to say it one more time. An individual relationship with God does not exempt you from a relationship with the church. I'm going to prove it to you by Scripture just in a minute, and I'll tell you why right now. It's because you are a part of the body. Okay, jump over here with me to 1 Corinthians. The Lord was pretty specific about this when He said this to me and spoke it into my spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read quite a bit, but I just want you to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for the other, another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And he goes into chapter 13 talking about the greatest of these is love. Now, I wanted to show that to you because I've heard so many people and talk about, you know, their walk, and they say, well, now we just don't go to church anywhere. I had one fellow tell me, we have a church at our house, our family, God instituted the family first. Well, so your family is all the body of Christ then? Come on, think about it for me. No. If you're a born-again child of God and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're part of the whole church. You are a member of the body of Christ. And therefore, you have no right to exempt yourself from the rest of the body. Because the whole body needs the whole body. Right? Come on now. You know, I mean, and notice here he talks about if one part of the body suffers, the rest of the part. See, if you're not hooked up to a church somewhere, you're not hooked up to a body of believers, who are you going to have stand with you when you need somebody to stand with you? Who are you going to have help you when you need help? Come on, see. You notice here he says we need the less members more sometimes than we need what's so visible. Right? Think about it for just a minute. I've used this before, and I'll use an example. I can use myself as an example. I have been, you know, had a problem with the bottom just beside my foot and then on my toe. Guess what? That has affected my whole body. You guys have seen me limp around here. I've slept in a recliner because I couldn't sleep with my foot out and believing God, confessing healing over my foot and all this stuff. But what I'm trying to show you is just that little part of my body messed up my whole body. That my whole body couldn't get to function normally like it ought to. Well, see, it's the same thing in the body of Christ. If one of the little members is messed up, it's messing up everybody. And so we have to guard and take care of one another, pray for one another. The church is the worst in the world to eat its own. Somebody messes up and the first thing they want to do is everybody wants to eat them up. Wants to put them under, you know, just get rid of them, exile them, do whatever. No. The Bible says if we see somebody overtaken in a fault, we're supposed to restore them in a spirit of meekness. And watching out for ourselves to make sure that we don't get caught up in the same thing. You see? And so, here as Paul's been talking about the fact that we're all in this thing together, we need to see that we're in this together. Church, we're stronger together. Did you hear me? The body of Christ, the Bible talks about a threefold cord, not easily broken. You see, when somebody wants to get out by themselves, yeah, I know y'all have watched some National Geographic and some of those nature shows and stuff. What happens when somebody gets separated from the herd? Most time they get eat, right? You know, I've always heard around here, you know, that it's the long banana that gets peeled. Yeah. So it's good. I mean, there's that relationship together. I've watched, you know, on some of those shows. I like to watch those nature shows. And I've seen before, like, where, you know, a big lion come and maybe try to attack just a baby hippo. You and it'd be grab a hold and get a hold of it. But all of a sudden, here comes the herd. And man, that lion ain't got no power over that herd. They put it to running. You see, and that's the way the body of Christ is. When we come together, we'll put the devil on the run. He ain't got no power over us. Come on, church. You see, but we've got to understand it's all got to do with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and making sure that we're living for Him, making sure that we're taking our part and being part of the body. You know, when somebody thinks they can go on their own, it's wrong. They can't go it on their own. We need each other. If nothing else, we need encouragement. Come on, we need somebody to look at us and say, you can make it. You can do this. You see, because the Lord was put, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points as we, but without sin. But it also says that He went through it all for us so that we could be able to go through it. Why? Because He wanted to make sure that you and I can make it. I promise you, we can make it. Now, here's the thing. We need to help. We need to be with one another, stand with one another, be strong with one another. Because there is a real devil out there who would like to take you down. But when you got help, he can't do nothing. He's not going to be able to. We'll stand together because we're in this together. God called us all to the body. Members in particular, some of us with different anointings, some of us with different callings, but not one is more important than the other. You say, well, I don't know what my job is. Well, let me just show you something here. Go with me real quick. I promise you I'll end right here. Notice that it says in verse 28 here that we just read in chapter 12, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles. Okay. We know that's part of the fivefold ministry. Then he says secondarily prophets. That's part of the fivefold ministry. Then after that, teachers. That's part of the fivefold ministries. Then after that, miracles. Well, see, that's linked to evangelists. Okay? Then it says, then gifts of healing that can work with the evangelists or with the other ministries. Then notice that there's helps there. See that little word, helps? Then after that's governments. Well, that's pastors. And then diversities of tongues. That, again, is some gifts. But notice the helps there. Every one of us is part of helps. Every one of us is part of helps. It's amazing that people don't want to help in church. It's always just blown my mind. I've always wanted to help no matter... You say, well, yeah, but you're the pastor. I ain't always been a pastor. But when I was a member of a church, I realized the church needed help. We would volunteer when we were still in the denominational church. We'd make sure we took our turn back then different families would take turns and clean the church on a certain week. And we would make sure we took our time, our turn to do that because we wanted to help. And nowadays, it just seems, I was talking with a friend of mine from another church, and I told him, I said, you know, a lot of folks now believe in church fairies. You know what, everybody know what church fairies are? Church fairies are those that, when you come to a dinner, they prepared everything for you to eat. The church fairies did that. They carried all the food in, got the tables ready, prepared all the food, got everything out, and all you have to do is come up in and eat. A lot of times you just get up and go, and the church fairies clean everything up. Well, I'm lying. There's no such thing as a church fairy. That's people that are operating in the ministry of helps. That's people that are waiting on you so you can come and eat and come and go. And I wonder, do you ever give a thought, I should be helping too? See, it got real quiet. Don't want to make nobody mad, but understand, this is everybody's church. Every one of us are responsible in the body to work, to do things. We got church fairies that mow the yard, church fairies that keep up maintenance and do. Come on, see. Somebody has to do these things, and I think sometimes folks never even give it a thought. Where in the world did the water and the supplies in the bookstore come from? It's quiet. How did all that stuff get here? Somebody brought it. Somebody went and got it. Somebody worked and helps to do that. And I'll tell you, a lot of times the one bringing everything in is the two church fairies here. We're all in the ministry of helps. We'll carry it in. Thank God we got other people that prepare stuff and we'll help or whatever we got to do. But what I want you to know is this. You are part of the body. And I promise you, the same reward for helps is the same reward for pastor. Because God's not a respecter of persons. The only difference is I got a whole lot more responsibility. I'm responsible for everything that's said and done in this church. I heard a guy on Facebook. I saw a little clip and it blew my mind. Because he was asked a question, what authority does a pastor have in the church? And she's asking the pastor that. And he got up there and he said, I have absolutely no authority in the church. I have no authority over this, and I have no authority over this. And then he backed it up by trying to be spiritual and saying, because God is the authority. Well, sure, God's the authority. But if you look at the Word of God, God is the authority, but God has set some in the church. And part of that is governments. How many knows governments have authority? I don't have any authority over your life. You have to live your life the way you do, but I do have authority in the church. And I thought to myself, man, I need to sit down and teach you a few things. You're teaching your people wrong. But you see, again, the Bible talks about the blind leading the blind. They both fall in the ditch. We need to learn how God has established, just like the devil has an order established. Have you ever read that in the Word of God? Yes. Right? So does God. And so we're in this thing together. And here's the thing. I'm going to do my best to steer us all in the right direction. I'm going to do my best to be an example of the believer. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to do your best to be an example of a believer. Please, please pray for me and Pastor Ed. We need your guidance all the time because we have to make decisions sometimes that are not easy decisions. So we need you to prop us up in prayer and make sure that we're hearing from God to be able to do that. I'm going to pray for you just like I always do, that God will continue to bless you, continue to keep you healthy, continue to make you prosperous and give you favor. You see, I want you to live the best you can possibly live according to the Word of God. And once it's all said and done, we know we've got a great reward when we get to heaven. The main thing is, make sure you're ready to go. Amen? I've quit. I've hushed. Let's stand and we're going to pray. Father, we thank you, bless you, and praise you.